Thank you so much, Cindy. Goodness, I could have sat there and just listened and worshiped the rest of our service to that. You know, I've been in a lot of church, and I certainly echo Colin's appreciation for Cindy. You can tell when a musician, an instrument, you're just hearing the notes and the music from a talented musician, and when worship is coming from the instrument. And it's been such a blessing. One of the blessings of many being with you here at Trinity is just being able to worship as Cindy's pianist accompanying us, because God's getting glory and it's worship coming off of her fingertips and onto those keys. We are so blessed. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 2nd chapter. And while you're turning there, I want to just take a moment to say and repeat how encouraged and blessed to know of your generous giving to the Light of Moon Christmas offering. And though many of our church have not been present and weren't here for the end gathering, I just encourage you to be a part of this church supporting international missions and taking the gospel to peoples all over the world by contributing and being a part of our Light of Moon Christmas offering this month. Just such a blessing and testimony there. Well, in the second chapter of Luke, we continue the Christmas story, reading beginning in Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Will you pray with me? Father, as we celebrate this Christmas season, we're so blessed by just the joy, just the special nature of music that we sing in this season, for the beautiful decorations, for the anticipation of sharing and giving gifts to loved ones and friends and celebrating the birth of Jesus many years ago. But Lord, we're really celebrating not that event in Bethlehem, but we celebrate because Jesus was born into our hearts. When we came to that point of faith and believing and received him as our own Savior, not just the Savior of the world. And may we be blessed at this Christmas season for the reality of what you have done for us in the coming of Jesus to be an empowering, life-changing, victorious walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I doubt that you have heard many Christmas sermons on Simeon. Our Christmas sermons usually talk about the wise men, the angels, the shepherds coming to the manger in Bethlehem, maybe to the revelation to Mary and to Joseph of how they had been chosen and blessed of God for to give birth to the Savior that Jesus had promised. But Simeon, that story's already over. The shepherds have been there, they have dispersed, but it's really not over. You know, our manger scenes kind of distort the whole history and sequence of events there. When the wise men, we see them gather, and they're the shepherds and the animals there and the stalls and so forth. But the account of the wise men coming in Matthew indicate that they were much later. In fact, some commentaries say that the star appeared when Jesus was born. And so they knew the prophecy probably coming from the old Persian Empire and the wisdom and the of past empires and providences and scholars in that part of the Middle East, and began to make that journey to the star. But it took them quite some time. The slow moving, plodding of the camel train to finally get there. And when they did, knowing that a king was to be born in, obviously, Jerusalem, going to the king as they made their appearance to Herod, it says, and when they had left, seeking where this king was, the star appeared and guided them to the manger in Bethlehem, where they found Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the house where they were residing. So it may have been 2 years later. So to connect Simeon, an experience 8 days later, is really a part of the birth of Jesus and the sequence of events that have very special meaning for us. But Simeon had been waiting for Christmas. You know what it means to wait for Christmas? Well, maybe so much as adults in the fast-paced life that we live and all that we put into the decorating and cooking and shopping and celebrating Christmas with special parties and programs. But you remember your time as a child, as I do. I mean, when the decorations started appearing, when the commercialization of Christmas started happening and the programs coming on television. Well, we didn't have television then, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, Christmas, you just start getting inundated with this season of the year, and they start the countdown. Only 50 more days of shopping before Christmas, and then it starts getting to 20 days and 10 and 9 and 7, and you start seeing what's not crossed off of your list, and the stress begins to build, and the family's going to be coming over, and I meant to get all this cooking done and the preparation and so forth, and the countdown begins. But for a child, it seems like it never gets there. And I can remember we were a fairly large family, and everybody bought gifts for everybody else, and so they begin to accumulate under the Christmas tree. Oh, how horrible! Just seeing those gifts, knowing your name was on some of them, and it just continued to pile up. And it was still a week from Christmas, and, you know, the days went by. And I remember us, I had a twin sister, and, you know, we just couldn't stand it. And, you know, wait till Christmas morning. That's when we opened the gifts, on Christmas morning. And, of course, not only the packages under the tree, but Santa would have come, and there'd be more things there under the tree. And we began to beg, couldn't we just open one gift early on Christmas Eve? And we just badgered our parents until finally that became kind of a custom. On Christmas Eve, we could open one of those gifts, but everything else had to wait to Christmas morning. But it was just terrible having to wait for what you were going to receive on Christmas Eve. Simeon had been waiting a long time. In fact, Israel had been waiting a long time for the birth of a Savior. Of course, they didn't know it was going to occur in such circumstances, but most of them had forgotten. After all, it had been over 600 years since that proclamation of Isaiah that for unto us a child is born, a son is given. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Most of Israel had forgotten. It had been 400 years since there had been a prophetic word. Now just think, 400 years, 1620. No word from the Lord since the pilgrims arrived on the shore. We would have pretty much dismissed, and life would have gone on as we know it, as maybe even thinking it's just a myth. It's not really going to happen. But there were a few, and Simeon was one who was devout. He had a passion of his life for that promise to be fulfilled. A Savior, the Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, that would come and fulfill that promise of consolation for Israel and for healing and for salvation. And he probably daily just meditated and reviewed the promises throughout the Scripture that this Anointed One was come, the covenant of God to those who came before. Obviously, he was very advanced in years, probably well beyond when most of the lifespan of people of that day and lived well beyond that. But God had honored his passion, his faith, his hope in revealing that he would not depart until he had seen this promise fulfilled. Well, when Mary and Joseph entered the temple for the rite of purification, and I don't want you to miss the significance of this. This was the temple in Jerusalem. You know, they were from Nazareth. Up in Galilee, it was a long way away. Very few had the privilege of fulfilling that purification, that dedication rite of a newborn, the firstborn son, in the temple in Jerusalem. But here they were in Bethlehem. Less than 2 miles from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So what a blessing that they could take Jesus and fulfill that sacrifice to make that devotion, that commitment of the firstborn son. And when Simeon took Jesus into his arms, and in verse 29 declared, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Do you notice how this echoed the proclamation of the angels? That he said, "The eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all peoples." It wasn't just for Israel. The angels declared that this is good news of great joy for all peoples. It wasn't just the Jewish Messiah. It wasn't just to come to bless, redeem, to save them, to throw off the Roman yoke. He was born to the peoples of the world. And he reflected an amazing insight that very few religious leaders or even prophets understood, that he would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Not the Jewish people, but that salvation was to extend to all peoples throughout the world, but also the glory of the people, Israel. Now, this is a unique term that is used throughout the New Testament for special manifestations of God's glory. It was often sometimes referred to the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God in the midst of his temple. It was a term that was used when the temple was built, Solomon's temple, initially, the glory of the Lord. It revealed the glory of the Lord. It's sometimes referred to the covenant of God with his people, you know, that respects and manifests the glory of God. But now the true glory of God had come. That fulfilled promise that God would be glorified through his people, Israel. Again, reflecting the proclamation of the angels just 8 days earlier, that there is born into you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they begin to proclaim, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of goodwill. This is the one that truly brought glory to God in the midst of his people. But all of this pointed to that, the glory of God. Now just file that away as we move through this. What is Christmas all about? It's the glory of God in the midst of his people. He's the focus, as we somewhat tritely say, the reason for the season. Yes, it's the reason for the season. We wouldn't have it. But it's not just to celebrate an event more than 2,000 years ago. It's to bring glory to God. It's to restore us back to the glory of God. This baby that Simeon was holding was that promised deliverer. He recognized it. Yes, the shepherds recognized it. They readily responded. The wise men, not even Jewish people, recognized that this was that promise of God. But the question was, would Israel recognize it? Would their hearts be joined together in praise to receive him? Simeon knew otherwise. And so he pronounced a warning in verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. The fall or rise of many in Israel. You see, it's not only in Israel, but that truth continues throughout history. For those who receive him, it means arising. Arising from the bondage of sin to a new life in him. Arising from the grief, the bondage to sin, to darkness, a life that is on a path to eternal condemnation, to rise above that to a new life that is assured of God's presence and life with him forever. But for those who do not receive him, it kind of confirms a falling. You might make that a little more practical. And what does Christmas really mean? A rising or a falling? Is it really a blessing? Is it one that just brings you closer to God because of its focus and what it's all about? As you prepare to enter a new year, just at a different level of fellowship and intimacy with God because of the glory that we've experienced through Christmas celebration? Or is it a time of just, man, I'm glad that's over? Christmas decorations packed, the rowdy grandkids that just wrecked your house or gone back home, and, you know, the leftovers are just about eaten over, and I can kick up my heels and rest a little bit, and glad that is over. I remember speaking in a church. It was in a March, early in March, and I remember it because one of the staff members was telling me they had just completed a special monthly emphasis, Make Jesus Lord in February. A special emphasis that month in which they were challenged to bring in, enlist new members of Sunday school, enlist new members of the choir, more people, a record number, to go in visitation and a goal for baptisms and giving and just every activities. And he said, and it was immensely successful. God just really blessed. I mean, we had phenomenal numbers going out, witnessing and visiting, and our Sunday school grew, our attendance grew. We had professions of faith, and I mean, everybody just wore themselves out throughout the month. And man, I'm glad that's over with. And I thought, what? Make Jesus Lord. Glad that's over with. Sometimes we kind of feel that way about Christmas, don't we? It just wears us out, and all the stress and things we have to do that's extra, and kind of glad it's over with. Or did it bring us to a new level in our relationship with God? You see, there's two possibilities. And what Simeon was referring to, that to many, it's a literal resurrection. Because of what Jesus did in dying for our sins and rising again in God's providence and that plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, when we receive that news, when we believe it, when we understand it and give ourselves to us, it's a resurrection from our own life, from being dead in trespasses and sin to a new life in Christ. But for those who reject Him, for those who never come to faith in Jesus Christ, the fact that He did come, that He was born, that He died on the cross for our sins, confirms a falling and condemnation because they did not receive Him. The angel said, "This is good news, a great joy for all people." But as you've heard in those mission messages the last couple of weeks, 1/3 of our world is yet to hear the Christmas proclamation. Have no clue that a Savior was born. 1/3 of our world, 1.4 billion people at least, researchers tell us, have never even heard the name of Jesus. They're isolated culturally and geographically, many in closed countries and hostile to religious faith, and even especially to Christians, where missionaries have never been allowed. And we would like to think with the coming of Jesus and the birth of Jesus that everyone in the world would be a beneficiary of what He has come and died. But unfortunately, there are many who have never received Him and benefit from the salvation, the hope that He brings in being born into the world to die for our sins. You know, at Christmas time, you can see those gifts and someone can have a gift for you, has your name on it there under the tree. But it's not really yours until you receive it, until it's given to you. Now, I've been in two situations, some with my siblings and their families and so forth, and I know in my son's family, they give out those gifts as quickly as they can. I mean, the tree gets cleaned out, and everybody's got a stack of packages, and then everybody just digs in and starts ripping off the paper as fast as they can, simultaneously open their gifts. My parents, for some reason, just didn't get it. They said, "We have got to celebrate and participate in the joy of each gift." So one by one, some was given, it started with the youngest, got the first gift. Everybody had to sit there, watch it open and joy, receive it. Then somebody else gets it, opens it. And it's, you know, it took forever. And, you know, but it really doesn't become yours until you get that gift in your hands and actually until you open it. And Christ was born. He's God's gift to us. But until we receive Him and we open that gift and we discover it's not just salvation, but it's joy and peace and power and purpose of a new life, we don't have it. And many have never received it. And there was certainly no uniform response in Israel. I mean, they had been disturbed and the self-satisfaction. There were many that received the gift. We know of Peter and Thomas and Mary Magdalene and Paul, sinner that he was, chief of sinners as he identified himself, they all received the gift. They recognized him for who he was. But one of the saddest things that we read in Scripture is in John, the first chapter of John, that he was in the world and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. This is what Simeon was talking about. His coming has provided a rising that we can rise out of that mundane nature of our sin nature, fleshly nature, our hopelessness, to a new life with Jesus Christ. But if we don't receive him, if we don't accept that gift, if we don't believe, like many in Israel, and not receive it, then we face the consequences of not having the salvation he provided. But the scripture goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. These are the ones that rise. They became the children of God. Well, that's a new level of life, isn't it? To become a child of God. And yet there are many today that are still hostile, prejudiced, rejecting, indifferent. You know, many that celebrate Christmas. You may have family members and siblings. You may have office parties and celebrating Christmas together. And they're right there with it, exchanging gifts, singing the Christmas carols and songs, and enjoying the music and the decorations, but they don't know the gift. They've never received it. And it's going to mean a falling and condemnation for Christ. You know, it comes back to what Pilate was confronted with on that infamous trial that resulted in Jesus being crucified when he recognized that there was no fault in him, and trying to dismiss the charges and release him. And yet they demanded Barabbas instead of Jesus. And he asked the question, well, what shall I do with Jesus? And the crowds responded. The crowds that had welcomed him a week before, singing hallelujahs and hosannas, began to shout, crucify him, crucify him. And so Christmas confronts us with that question. What have you done with Jesus? Have you accepted him or rejected him? Or maybe not rejected him. Many of our friends and who just have no interest in spiritual and church matters and so forth would not say they've rejected him, but let's just say neglected him. And ever recognizing their need and neglect coming to Jesus, what will it mean? Simeon concludes in verse 35, and saying to Mary, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now you've probably heard that reference of his crucifixion, that Mary's heart would be pierced with the grief, seeing her firstborn son, begotten of God, being nailed to a cross and crucifying. And you imagine the pain in a mother's heart that nursed that child and raised him and guided him and cared for him and loved him and received his love. But we often miss the point, and thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. For you see, the judgment of whether it will be a rising or a falling with the coming of Jesus is all a heart matter. And those hearts will be revealed, whether to a falling away or to a rising as a child of God. You know, it's hard to comprehend. You know, people that would reject the Lord. But Isaiah said that he would be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And it shouldn't be a surprise that many of the Jews did not accept him. By this time, many of them were already neglecting sacrifices, had broken the law. They despised the prophets. You know, they had mostly forgotten the covenant of God and his promise. And Simeon reflected the words of Isaiah, who said that he would be despised and rejected of men. The religious leaders would have nothing to do with him. The common people, they heard him gladly, but then they revoked their praise to shouting for his crucifixion. And so it is today. Many religious people think church is sufficient, living a good moral life, but they've never really dealt with the issue of what did you do with Jesus? Not just celebrating his birth with all the programs and formalities and things we do at Christmas, but what did you do with Jesus personally? And everything pointed back to Abraham and the scriptures. And they failed to receive and reject everything that God has offered. And if you turn away from Jesus, you don't have anything. Oh, life goes on, but you're just moving toward an awful destiny. And you don't have to neglect him, to reject him, but just neglect. Placing your faith in him. Recognizing what Christmas is really all about. Because he came for the rising of many. To bring us up from confusion to know a wonderful counselor. From despair to know an almighty God. From fear and worthy to know a Prince of Peace. From loneliness to know Emmanuel, the God that is with us. Praise God that we do know that he's a gift from God, that he's the resurrection and the life, that we've been raised out of the fear and destiny of condemnation in hell. We've been raised to a new life in Christ. We've been raised to a life that is appropriating his peace and joy and power and victory. So friends, don't think of Christmas as just celebrating his birth in a manger 2,000 years ago and a Savior who's enthroned in heaven. I pray that all of the celebrations of Christmas and what you do will be celebrating his being born into your life. To glorify God that you have received the assurance of resurrection in heaven, and that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So where does this Christmas find you? Is it a rising or is it a fall? For those that may be listening to this broadcast, and perhaps even someone here, may never have really made an explicit decision to receive Christ, who was born into the world to save you. A living Christ who's been glorified in heaven and offers you an opportunity to rise out of a carnal world, a mundane world of stress, worry, problems, temptations, to deliver you into a new life in him. But you see, if you confess Jesus as Lord, the fulfillment of God's promise, receive him as your Savior, knowing that he died on the cross to save you from our sins. Romans 10:8-9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made into salvation. With the heart we believe. That's not just intellectual assent to what you've been hearing at church. But it's recognizing that you're a sinner separated from God. that is bound for an eternity of judgment in hell and a falling away. If you don't accept the gift that God has provided for you at this Christmas season, it's all wrapped up in beautiful decorations and beautiful stirring music, but you've got to receive it. You've got to open that package and make it yours in your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray that this Christmas will not just be another annual round of parties and celebrations and family reunions and beautiful decorations, but it would be a time that glorifies you because we celebrate your coming into our life. Thank you that we can be as Simeon and can know this one who was born is the one that was given of God for our salvation and our rising to a life in you. And I pray that if there's any who have never made that decision, would make this the day of salvation, that this can be the first Christmas to truly celebrate what it all means. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
At this time, I believe William had a couple of announcements.
On behalf of the personnel committee, as we would like to recognize our staff this year with some small financial gifts. I've already given the pianist Cindy, the organist Lucy, financial administrative assistant Kathy, and Jeannie, our education director, theirs. I'd like to present the ones to Colin, our music and youth director, and Brother Jerry. This time, these are just small ways of our church saying thank you for a job well done this year. And, you know, this has been probably one of the most difficult years in ministry, no, and I think it's deserving of a hand of applause.
Just along the lines of what he said, thank you for a wonderful year of ministry. It's been a different year of ministry, and I've spoken to friends, and I know Dr. Rankin has as well, spoken to other ministers about all the many changes that have had to occur due to the virus, due to the changes, due to government mandates, and I thank you for just your faithfulness in this church to listening to what's being said and continue to follow these guidelines that we put in place. They're there for you, and I just want to say that we are so blessed. As I spoke to a good pastor friend of mine, I met him on the lake fishing, but he was speaking with me, and he said that he had five pass away from COVID, and he had more that were over COVID now. He had enough now to have a separate congregation of those that have had COVID and gotten over it. And just the number of people that have gotten it through their church, and he said, we just didn't follow guidelines correctly. We ignored some of these things. And I thank you so much for being so lenient, being here and doing what you've been asked of. And it's so wonderful to have a congregation that loves each other enough to be there for one another, especially in this time. Thank you for your worship and your praise throughout this year. And let's have a wonderful Sunday this coming up with our Christmas special. There's going to be some special musics from some wonderful and talented people in our congregation, and I just can't wait to hear all of them. Let's stand together and sing our closing chorus.
Rejoice, rejoice.